a maniac, doomed to be a killer since I came out the nutsack. I'm in a murderous mind state with a heart full of terror. I see the devil in the mirror, fuck, fuck, lights out. Cause when I grab my sword off, niggas get hauled off. Barrel one, tear your motherfucking flesh. Barrel two, tear your fucking heart out your chest. You see, I'm quick to let the hammer go click on my tech nine. So if you try to wreck mine, fool at your bedtime. Feel the blast from the chocolate bomber. Infrared aimed at your head like your name was Sarah Connor. Decapitation, I ain't hesitating to put you in a funeral home with a bullet in your dome. I'm hot like lava. You got a problem? I got a problem solver, and his name is Revolver. It's like a deadly game of freeze tag. I touch you with the phony for mag, and you're frozen inside a body bag. Nobody iller than this graveyard filler, cap pillar. Cause I'm a natural born killer.
All right, welcome back to the Radio Realm with Brian Hubley at the helm. My third guest tonight, Mr. Dante Nero, all the way out from Brooklyn. You've seen him. He's been in lots of comedy shows at Caroline's. He's a big mixed martial artist. You saw him in the movie Fighting. How are you doing, Dante?
I'm good, Brian. How's everything going, man? I appreciate you calling me and bringing me in, you know, to talk to your fans and kind of meet some people out in L.A., you know, long distance. Technology is great. What's going on?
Yeah, without a doubt, we became friends on Facebook, and I reached out to you, and I'm, you know, honored to have you on my show. I checked out your Bounce TV reality show that you started getting up off the ground, and I just wanted to say that looks very, very interesting, and how did all that come together for you?
Well, I was into the mixed martial arts, and I used to do pit fighting back before the whole Kimbo Slice. Like, a guy named Tony would call you up and tell you to meet him in some garage somewhere, and you'd fight a guy for a couple of grand when
wow.
I was in my 20s.
Like Fight Club style?
Yeah, in terms of the gambling, that's kind of how I actually got the movie with Channing Tatum, is because I actually had, you know, background in doing that stuff. And
wow.
A lot of the guys who did it also bounced and stuff. And so it was like any guy that you see that's over 250 pounds, has a black shirt, and has been standing in front of somebody's door checking IDs at some point in time in their life. You know what I mean? So what my idea was is a lot of these, nobody says, when you get people who go, I want to be a fireman, I want to be an astronaut. Nobody ever goes, I want to be a bouncer. So it's kind of something that happens because you just kind of end up there. So a lot of the bouncers and guys who end up bouncing, the guys who had played pro football, guys who had done martial arts and fought professionally in martial arts or played basketball or weightlifted, and they just found themselves in front of somebody's door, you know, checking IDs. And I knew these guys on a real personal basis, and I knew that most of the time everybody kind of looks at you, you're the jerk off that keeps people from coming in the club. But I knew these guys on a personal basis, and I knew that they had stories to tell and families, and you know, some of them were single parents, and some of them were taking care of their father. And I kind of wanted to show that these guys were the human side of these guys, that they just weren't big, you know, muscle heads who, keep you from going into the club. And the whole idea was that the bouncers are actually the on the front line between the people who want to party and have a nice time and stay safe and the idiots who come in and want to disrupt that. So, you know, that was my idea.
Yeah, and it also, I think it shows a lot of people, you know, like kind of how to act, and it shows kind of like a basis for people who don't understand like how to respect women at a bar or something like that. You could watch this show and then you learn, you're like, yeah, that shit ain't cool, because you have a certain way of talking to people without it getting too crazy.
Right. And the other thing is that when you're coming into the club, one of the things is the bouncers are already watching. They can already see the guys who are the jerk off, who's going to be a problem from the time they walk in. You know, there's always this kind of swagger. So there's really a psychology to it, to kind of realize who's who and just to keep everybody safe. I mean, I had a good friend of mine, the Inceptionist, I had a good friend of mine who was actually right around the time when the smoking ban came, the indoor smoking ban came, and he had a guy who actually stabbed him in his carotid artery in his leg, and he died.
Oh,
he
no.
bled to death right in front of the club. And that was kind of the inception of the whole, where I kind of got the idea. We had pitched it to A&E and a couple of television shows, and they kind of passed on it. So we're actually retooling it now to pitch it to the network again. So,
yeah,
and,
man.
But there's a little snippet online that you can check out. It's called Bounce. It's on my page and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and I was also wondering, like, because you probably have to be like a master of body language, I'm sure, if you're a bouncer who does his job right. So I was wondering does that help you when you're on stage performing comedy, just in being able to read people like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's I always say that true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts and how they relate to situations that seem totally irrelevant, but they're not. Meaning, if you learn the fundamentals of any cosmic and universal law, you can apply it to anything. So definitely when you're in the club, you can check, you can see who's going to be the jerk and who's not, and who's there to have fun and who's prudish. You know, that body language definitely helps when you're reading the crowd. And I, you know, my act is really interactive. Like I go way into the crowd. I go really way into deep water. And so, it helps me. But I mean, I think we all kind of have that. You know, if you see somebody and they're sitting on a curb and their head is down, you go, oh, depressed, you know?
Right.
And I think sometimes we just take it for granted, the things that we already know. Like, you know, like anybody knows that. But, you know, it's just taking that a little bit further, you know?
Yeah, and do you think that maybe your physical demeanor might mean that you get heckled less? Like, how do you get heckled? Like, what is that like for you? Because, you know, because I'm sure you can knock out whoever's doing it, so.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole point is to make people laugh and, you know, entertain people. So, I mean, I think I probably get heckled more because people just don't think that I would do anything. You know, it's kind of like poking the bear. So, I mean, the other thing is, I like I said, I'm very, very interactive. And because of that, you're talking to people, you've got to expect them to talk back, you know. And I welcome it. You know, it's a great opportunity to meet people and kind of talk to them. I mean, I've met people during the show. Like, I once met a guy from Scotland who, 6 months out of the year, he lived in a bell, like a... like he was an underground underwater welder, and he lived in a bell with six guys for 3 months out of the year.
What?
You know? Yeah. I mean, so you meet these people, these extraordinary people, and I just don't. I'm just the kind of guy that just I don't want to miss out on that. You know, the opportunity to meet. You know, to kind of hear that guy's story. You know, and that stuff also leads to material and things that you want to talk about. You know?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I remember checking. You were on the Black Phillip show with Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Could you reflect a little bit with me about your man Patrice and, you know, maybe
yeah,
the
yeah,
impact?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Patrice and I. What was funny was Patrice and I was we were best friends, and whereas Patrice had been doing comedy for about 12 years when I met him. But I lived a full life. I mean, I've done a lot of things that other people would never have done. I ran an escort service for a while, and
oh,
you know,
my.
I was, you know, I was a bad boy. So, So it just, but, you know, my, and I also was a male stripper. I did male stripping for like 11 years. And so my understanding of relationships and women far exceeded most guys. And so when Patrice and I connected, it was just kind of magic because with, you know, I mean, he had these point of views and we kind of bounced them off of each other. And I, you know, and what he had not experienced, I had, and vice versa, which is what I, and we really, when we did that show, there was no, like, we had no production. Like, we had no idea what we were going to talk about from show to show. And what's interesting is that was 5 years ago, and I've had guys Facebook me and say, man, that show changed my life. And it's become kind of a cult following on the internet where people, guys are going back and they're listening into the, they're listening to these old shows and it's really, you know, making a difference in their lives. So, I mean, I'm really proud of that. I mean, Patrice was probably one of the most prolific comics in our time. I mean, I used to tell him all the time, I think he was going to give, you know, if he had kept on, he kept living, I think he'd have given Pryor a run for his money, you know, and I used to say that to him. So,
yeah,
he's an amazing, amazing talent, you know?
Without a doubt. Patrice was actually the one when I saw him on Tough Crowd back in the day, and then ever since then,
yes.
If I saw him on Web Junk, if I heard him on Opie and Anthony, I'm tuned
yes,
in.
Yes.
I love Patrice from the moment basically I seen him. He's just got, I guess, just one of those type of demeanors where it's just all inviting, where it only takes just a little sample of him, and then you love him.
Yeah. We used to say he's that uncut. That uncut comedy. The funny thing about that is the people that hated him. And the people that loved him, which is a testimony to his point of view, because that's when you don't, you know, when you get a guy and everybody loves him, then, you know, he's really not saying anything. He's not pushing your morality and making you think, and I think that Patrice always did that. I actually did Tough Crowd with Patrice. It was probably one of my first television credits. It was me, Patrice, Flex Alexander, who actually started out as a comic, and he basically does a lot of acting now, and Kevin Hart, and Colin Quinn. We have an episode. I think there's an episode of that online where, you know, us four on there with Colin. So,
yeah,
I
always try to tell all the youngsters, you know, and I say, hey, man, if you haven't heard of this Tough Crowd show, you got to go back and watch. Because
yes.
There's nothing
yes.
like it on TV where, you know, you guys basically trash each other and make fun of each other.
Yes.
And it's the funniest,
yes.
the funniest thing, you know, going. So I was just wondering, was with Patrice, like, when he smashes people, like, was there anybody better at, you know, like, I guess, smashing or making fun of
you? I used to describe the way he would smash people, kind of like, you know, if you see, you ever see like an uncle come to see all his nieces and nephews and all the kids come and pile on him, and they all pile on him, and then he just go, rah, and he just toss everybody to the side. I mean, Patrice was like that, you know, like he would, you know, he'd be the uncle beating up on all the nieces and nephews. I mean, he was an incredible, incredible dude. I mean, probably one of my best friends, you know, best friends ever, you know, loved that dude. Just, you know, he was an inspiration to me and to what I do on stage. I mean, when I first saw him, I was like, wow, like, really? Like, you can do that? You can say that? So he, you know, I attribute everything that I am today to, you know, him, you know, kind of setting the bar for what you should be doing as a comic, you know? Was an incredible dude, really incredible dude.
Right, right. And his words all live on forever. Everyone go get Mr. P off Amazon, all that stuff. I think it helps his family even if you buy that CD.
Yes,
so.
Yes, absolutely.
Mr. P on Amazon. So how about yourself? Do you have any plans for a comedy CD? Or maybe
I just did a movie called The GOAT. With it's coming out in 2012 with Vincent Pastore, Armand Asante, Ice-T, and Ja Rule. Naturally, I play somebody in jail.
Is that like a gangster flick?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mobster flick. So I got that coming out, and I'm actually getting ready to redo we used to call, I don't know if you know how we got the name of Black Phillip, but Black Phillip was, Patrice was on Opie and Anthony, he used to give relationship advice, and they said, you're like a Dr. Phil, and we named the show Black Phillip as a spoof on Dr. Phil,
Oh, wow.
I'm actually getting ready to bring it back, where I'm going to probably do a podcast myself. It's going to be called Tan Phillip, which is just me without Patrice. that we're getting ready to put together, because there's not a week that goes by that I don't get something in my inbox on Facebook about Black Phillip, and there's really a lot of guys that want some information and stuff. So I'm trying to put that together. If you guys can follow me on Twitter and stuff like that, I'm keeping everybody posted when that's going to be up and running. And, I got a few things going on. I'm trying to retool the bouncer thing. I got another show that I'm working on I can't really talk about for the Travel Channel. And I'm out working, doing stand-up, just getting better, talking and trying to fight the good fight. I'm trying to start a movement,
Yeah, man, it definitely seems like you're working really hard. So do you pay attention to, like, UFC and all that stuff? Is that something
Absolutely.
That you're into? Yeah, so...
Absolutely, I love the UFC.
What are your thoughts on John Jones and Rashad about to lock horns about next week, I think?
Bones is a phenomenon, and I don't think that Rashad can beat him, and I'll tell you why. Jones is that first generation of guys who came into it as an MMA fighter.
Like it was already an established sport. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you looked at the WNBA, when WNBA came out first 5 years it came out, you had girls that could dunk and you had girls that couldn't dribble the ball. I mean, the disparity of talent was so wide scope. And so when John Jones was a little guy, these guys, he grew up watching Tank Abbott and Shamrock and all these dudes, and Tikhonov and those. And the MMA was evolving from the UFC, and it was becoming much more refined. So he's one of the first guys that came up as an MMA guy, not as a from another discipline, and then learned MMA because this was the hot thing to come out. So it's in his blood. It's in the inception of his, although he did a lot of Muay Thai, which was easy, adaptable. He came in as an MMA guy. And I think that's why he's so good, because he's not trying to forget the disciplines that he came in on in the first place, And you're going to see more of that. You're going to see these guys who were 10 years old, when the UFC first came out, when you were looking at Tikhonov and those guys and Shamrock and the Gracie, Roy Hoyce Gracie and those guys, they were 5 and 10 years old, and now they're grown up and they grew up on it. And you're going to see the talent is just going to go through the roof. And when you look at the way Jones did to Rampage, it's just,
impressive.
First
Shogun, too. No one's ever...
And Shogun, I mean, they were even talking about how he was disrespectful because he choked him up against the fence, which, it's like, if you get it, you get it. I mean, this is, no disrespect, but, if you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. So I got to go with Bones. I got to go with the Bones. The only thing I think that the only person that might give him is Anderson Silva. That's the only guy I can see that maybe give him a run for money. And then there's, they got weight differential with that, so they got to work that out too. So.
Yeah, I think you described Jones the best when you just simply said phenomenal. The dude is a phenom. And when you're watching, I was wondering, like you mentioned, you were doing those pit fights and stuff. So was that basically more like they would want you guys to be throwing down, or was grappling okay? Because I'm sure if it's on concrete, you can't really slam someone on concrete, or else that might be paralyzation.
Well, what's funny about this, I used to jump. It's funny how people talk about MMA as if it's a new phenomenon. I mean, I did Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, I did Judo, I did Eagle Claw, Five Animal Style, I did Judo, I boxed. I was into bounce, I used to bounce from school to school and you know, take from each school. And that was what we were doing. And if you really think about what Bruce Lee did, the Jeet Kune Do concept, Bruce was doing that also. Like, he was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, Western Boxing, Mixed Grappling Arts, and Wing Chun, which was still a mixture of these different ranges of fighting, medium range, long range, and infighting, and ground fighting. I mean, that was going on. We're talking about 70s with Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
When you look at his old... So, I mean, this is not a new concept. I mean, they try to say that this is a new concept. I studied under a guy who actually was in the Food of Islam with the Louis Farrakhan and the Muslims at that time. And they were... These guys were fighting... You know, they were fighting in the streets and civil rights movements and stuff. And so they were integrating everything then. I mean, this is not really a new concept. I mean, it's... You know, urban fighting concepts is always being able to use what you have around you and adapting to what's going on. A lot of the grappling, a lot of the Brazilians you get to in the grappling, you're on concrete or you're in a street fight with two guys. You go down and do an arm bar and the guy stomps you in the face. You just can't do that. So, you adjust the techniques based on what, in terms of what you're dealing with and what the geography is. So, I mean, it's not... this has become a sport in a real sense of what it is, but it's also a sport. I mean, a lot of the things that these guys do, because there's still no eye gouging, there's still no groin punching, and right. There's no biting. And in a street fight, all of those things are present. So, you know, you have to think about it in terms of that, too, you know?
Yeah, definitely just the adapted art form of the evolution of mixed martial arts for sure. And I just want to, you know, maybe get a little bit advice from you. I know you're very fit and you're into the martial arts. I was just wondering what's the nutritional plan like for you? Or do you eat super healthy, greens only? What's your nutritional diet like?
I mean, I'm an older dude. I mean, so I gotta watch my food anyway. But, I mean, I just try to eat healthy. I try to leave the carbs alone, you know, minimize the carbs, minimize the sugars, I mean. And, you know, it's really just being healthy. Nothing too drastic because I just don't see, you know, whenever you do something, I always say this, you know, there's always a plan, an optimum plan in terms of nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have the optimum plan and it's so drastic that you're not going to follow it, the less optimum plan is probably, it's always better to have a plan that you're going to follow than a plan that you're not going to follow. Even if the plan that you're not going to follow is better. Because, you just won't get any benefit if you're not able to practically follow it. So, I mean, I think we all kind of have an understanding of, you know, what good nutrition is. And I think that, you know, following that, it's not that difficult. It's just a matter of making a commitment to do it. I am reading this book right now that's pretty good. It's called 4-Hour Body. And this guy who talks about the most optimum ways to build muscle and to, in terms of performance, and to build testosterone and flexibility. And, I mean, it's an amazing book. But, but it talks about those optimum programs to accomplish very specific goals. So, you know, it's a good book to check out.
Yeah, and I really appreciate all your deep philosophical thoughts that you not only you've been sharing with me on my program, but that you put out there to Twitter. Lots of good inspirational stuff at Dante Nero, twitter.com/Dante Nero, right?
So yeah, that's it.
What's maybe just some things like for some college kids maybe trying to figure out like what they're doing? Is there any type of advice you have for that?
Yeah, I would say, one of the things that I realized is even when I was in college, I mean, there's always great ideas. There's always these great ideas, and I think that people constantly are looking for that thing to give them that success. But you have to understand, whatever, the idea is just the vehicle. The gas that moves the vehicle is your sacrifice and your focus. And if you don't have the sacrifice, you're not willing to make the sacrifices and not willing to make the focus. It doesn't matter how great the idea, it's still not going to be successful. And so I think you have to decide what it is you want to do and then really focus on it. I always have this parable that one of the most dangerous weapons ever is an ice pick. And it's because whatever pounds of pressure you put behind an ice pick, it focuses those pounds on a pinpoint. Now, an ice pick can go through a bulletproof vest, it can go through a skull, it can go through cement if it's, you know, it's hard enough. So the point of it is that if you focus your energies, there's nothing that can stop you. So you gotta, you know, ice pick your life, I guess.
Yeah, become an ice pick, and then, you know, just focus the energy and become that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Just focus that energy and make it so intense that it's unstoppable.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Dante. So is there anything else that you'd like to get out there to these college kids to get to know you, Dante Nero?
Yeah, you can check me out on Facebook, Facebook.com/ Dante Nero. But Twitter, please follow me on Twitter. I Twitter religiously, and I'm always putting my thoughts out and stuff, and wisdom and thoughts and funny stuff. And, you know, and I mean, I love the whole Twitter thing because I kind of feel like if it could be said in 140 characters, we should say as little as possible and make as much sense as possible. So, I mean, I'll try to stay really religious on the Twitter.com/DanteNero. Check me out.
And your comedy shows, how do people know, like, when and where is that going down? Just on Twitter, you put it out there, or?
Yeah, you can check me on Twitter. You can check me also on my website. It's DanteNero.com. Also, my management company is CringeHumor.com, and they post a lot of the stuff, you know, different shows and where I'm at. And I have a couple of blogs on there, you know, relationship blogs and stuff like that they can check out as well. And also, you still got the old episodes of Black Phillip on the internet, and the bounce thing is on the internet, and the old tough crowds. And I never made this, but if you really like the, you know, the whole thing, I don't know if you've been checking that out, Brian, but the Green Room. I don't know if you've been able to check those episodes of the Green Room, Dynamite stuff too. Kind of retread of Tough Crowd.
Oh, right. It's on Showtime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. It's almost similar to, I usually do more one-on-one with comedians because, you know, I've got a college show and I can't get a bunch of guys on at the same time. But that's definitely I love that entertainment format where it's just you guys with each other. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be all about a host.
Exactly.
It's about the guests and what these guests have to offer and, you know, how they relate with each other. So that's what I want to do in the future, man. So hopefully I'll make a big one, Dan. I'll have you up on my new and improved big-ass show. All right, Dante?
Yeah, well, you I think you're thinking you'll make it, man. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you reaching out to me and bringing me, giving me an opportunity to talk to your fans and your listeners and all kinds of stuff like that. I just really appreciate it. And if you ever need anything, holler at me. You know how to get me. All right?
Right on, Dante. Keep wrecking shop, buddy.
I will, brother. Have a good one.
All right. Peace.
Yeah. They plan was to knock me out the top of the game, but I overstand they truth is all lame. I hold cannons that shoot balls of flame, right in a fat mouth, then I carve my name. Nah, it's too real, nah, it's too king, it's however you feel, go ahead, you swing. Your arm's too short, the box was gone, I don't solo with only. So now it's guys, yesterday you begged for a deal, today you tough guys. I seen it coming, soon as I popped my first bottle, I spotted my enemies trying to do what I do. Came in with my style, so I fathered you. I kept changing on the world since barbecue. Now you wanna hang with the hung with the hit. It's funny, I once said, if I ever make a record, I take a check and put something away for a rainy day to make my exit. But look at me now, 10 years deep, since the project Vince with be top of rap's elite. Just a ghetto child trying to learn the traps of the streets, but look at me now. Church on my hand was a preacher's blood. Swallow dirt from a graveyard in need of love. I vomit residue, I want revenue. Dreaming and pumping that you devils trying to take my freedom. That drove me crazy the day I drank my own.
my own with a in my brain. But wait a sec, give me time to explain. Women in fast cars and diamond rings could poison a rap star with suicidal high smoking so much. I saw dead birds flying through a broken sky. Wish I could flap wings and fly away to where black kings in Ghana stay, so I could get all my flesh rot away. But that'll be the day when it's peace, when my don't need to spray, when these streets are safe to play. With death indulging these women, vision my own skeleton swimming in eternal fire. Broads play with pentagrams and they like the exorcist. Then they gave birth to my seeds. I beg for God's help. Why they love hurting me? I'm your disciple, a thug, certainly. I'm the N, the A to the S-I-R. If I wasn't, I must have been Escobar. My ways staring at my reflection in the mirror, sitting still in the chair like my conception. When everything around me got cloudy, the chair became a king's throne. My destiny found me. It was clear why the struggle was so painful. Metamorphosis, this is what I changed to. God, I'm so thankful.